Blog Talk Radio.
Now listening to the Not Just Wrestling Show with your hosts, Mr. Pete and the Generic Dude.
It's a fucking sad day, man. It's a fucking sad fucking day. I'm fucking bummed.
Rest in peace, Sean Price.
I'm fucking bummed. I'm not fucking... Yeah. Yo, hip hop is fucking crying right now. We lost one of the best MCs in fucking history. And I'm not feeling it. Like, it's just, I'm just fucking bummed today. It's a fucking sad day. It's really a sad day. Sean Price was one of the most gifted, lyrical, one of the most funniest MCs ever. And if you don't know who he is, go listen. Go on YouTube, go on Spotify, check him out. One of the fucking best ever. And that's real talk, man. Real talk.
He was part of Helter Skelter, right?
Yeah, Helter Skelter, Boot Camp Click, Random X. The dude tore it down. But in this day and age of rap, You don't sound a certain way, you don't blow. But real hip hop heads know, and we're all hurting right now. We're all
It's ridiculous, man. Because What the thing is, in the grand scheme, at the end of the day, I mean, these whack rappers that are out now get so much recognition, like, amongst the masses, and, you know, they're looked at as stars. But you got someone like Sean Price. I mean, he's one of the best to ever do it. And it's just a shame that nowadays this is what hip-hop's become and what we're forced to listen to on the radio. But, you know, like you said, that's why we have Spotify. That's why you go back and you listen. Grab your old tapes. Helter Skelter, Sean Price, rest in peace, man.
Yes, sir. What's good, Generic? What's going on this week, sir?
Nothing much, bro. Just chilling. I actually just got done shaving my cat.
You shaved your cat?
I shaved my cat. I did.
Don't you have you have three, right?
I have three.
Oh, you still got three. Okay.
Yeah. That's a hell of a story. No, the generic dude has three generic cats. And the reason for this is because when I was in a relationship with the generic female, we had a liking for cats. So when we ended up parting ways, I kept the cats.
You got custody.
I got custody of the cats. So this dude, he's just walking around the house, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, yeah, I really need to shave you. So I took him in the bathroom, and I shaved him. And I gave him the absolute worst lion cut you can ever think of. He's butchered right now. If you see my, it's a damn shame to just look at my cat. He is butchered.
Yo, send me a pic because I need a laugh.
Yeah, I'll definitely
really
send you
need
a
laugh.
I laugh. Feel so bad for him.
And I will put that shit up. I will put that shit up on the show Twitter for all those that follow us on Twitter, so you can see what if you all need a laugh too.
Well, real. So. It's not just wrestling. We love wrestling.
Yes, sir.
I mean,
yes, sir.
Even though it is a sad day, we shall report the news of professional wrestling.
Yes, sir.
So we starting out on Raw, and Seth Rollins come out. And as you remember last week, Seth Rollins gave John Cena the biggest freaking nose break I've ever seen on WWE television.
That should look like an apple sitting on his face.
Like right under his right eye. Like his nose was going towards his ear. It was freaking ridiculous. But Rollins comes out and he has a shirt on that's modeled just like John Cena, and it says, "Never shut up. You can't see me," because he need him in the nose. You get it? So apparently I go on my wrestling blog sites, and if you didn't know, Cena and Rollins, they're going to be in a feud for a good minute. And apparently Rollins is going to be coming out with different versions of John Cena's gear, but just taking shots at him in different ways. So it could be
sure to be hilarious.
Yeah, so anyway, Rollins comes out. He's in the ring. He shows pictures of John Cena, what he did. He's just bragging about it. And then out of nowhere, he issues an open challenge. An open challenge for the WWE.
He's doing open challenges now too, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I guess anybody who's in a feud with Cena does it, because Kevin Owens did it too for the NXT title.
Yes.
So it's like,
oh,
since I'm feuding with John Cena, I want to do what he does. You know what I mean? That type of shit.
What would be a good idea is like he'll do an open challenge and you have like a legend or a has been come out, like open challenge, and you get the fucking Brooklyn Brawler. Or you get like freaking Sid Justice or
yeah, that would be crazy.
Fucking like Heath Slater was doing that, but it would be more meaningful if Rollins did it. You like fucking he'll do that and fucking Mil Mascaris comes out or some shit. That would be fucking hilarious. Disco Inferno.
Imagine if he does that and Ric Flair comes out
and beats him.
Woo!
And retires champion. That would be something.
Yeah, that's booking right there. That's booking. But,
will never so happen, yeah, but.
No, yeah, absolutely not. So Rollins issues the challenge, and, you know, he does it. They go to commercial break. And when they come back from the commercial break, JoJo's in the ring, and she's interviewing him, and then Rollins like, well, they have to be under 6 foot, and they have to be they have to be under 200 pounds. So then she looks at him and she's like, oh, so basically, so you want to fight El Torito? And then so Rollins starts talking shit to El Torito, and I'm like, wow, you got to be fucking kidding me. But then out of freaking nowhere, Neville comes out, and I got hyped because Neville's the shit.
Yes, sir.
And Neville and Rollins actually have faced each other in the indie scene before, so they, you know, they're no strangers. They're familiar.
And they have the ability to tear it down.
Oh, absolutely. And that's exactly what I was going to say. They end up having a freaking phenomenal match. They tore the shit down. There was a spot where Neville ends up hitting the red arrow, and he goes for the pin, and it looks like he won, but Rollins somehow gets his foot on the rope, and the crowd was into it. So that kind of gives me hope for Neville.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking the champ to the limits, you know. I mean, they got to have some plans for you, because they're not going to let just anyone step in the ring and put the champ in that position to almost lose his title. So, I mean, you wouldn't see, an example. You wouldn't see Ryback do that. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't get Ryback with a 2.5 count. So, you know, Rollins is one. I mean, Neville's one of Triple H's golden boys. So the future looks bright. So hopefully they handle him the right way and don't fuck him up.
Yeah, I mean, he came up. And he's had a match with Rollins before since he's come up. It wasn't for the title, but he's had one. And, you know, I had all the faith that Neville was going to be dope. I always had a little bit of concern because he's not the best on the mic. And he, you know, he has the heavy accent and he got the pointy ears. Like, he kind of looks like he looks like a Keebler elf.
Yeah, like, he really does.
Like he looks like he makes amazing cookies.
Those chocolate chips, fucking Keeblers, are great.
Yeah, man.
Eat them shit in the microwave, man.
I mean, they end up tearing it down. Rollins ends up hitting. Well, actually, Neville, he ends up going for the red arrow again. He goes to hit it. Rollins moves out the way and ends up hitting a pretty fucking savage pedigree. Like, Triple H needs to take a hint from there. But yeah, so he hits the pedigree, and that's it. Rollins retains. Great match. So we got, and this is, of course, courtesy of the Hulu version.
Yeah, the 90-minute stripped-down version.
There's a lot of just stuff that's not worth reporting. I mean, Adam Rose.
No one cares about the Ascension. No one cares about New Day, even though they're funny, but no one cares.
Well, I mean, New Day is an exception because I kind of care about New Day. But like Fandango and apparently Adam Rose and Brad Maddox, general manager from like 2011-ish, 12-ish.
Who's not a bad wrestler at that, though. That's the crazy part. Brad Maddox is not a horrible wrestler, but...
No,
and he has charisma, and they saddled him with a general manager gimmick, and he didn't wrestle at all, so no one knows the dude can actually go in the ring.
You know, one time Brad Maddox, as the general manager, came out, and I guess he's backstage before the show starts, and he's like, I really got to do something to kind of solidify my character, so I'm going to kind of talk like Bane from Batman or The Dark Knight. Or the Dark Knight Rises with Bane, whatever. So Brad Maddox comes out and he starts freaking talking like Bane. Like, I swear, he's talking like this. Like, it's like, what?
We're booking some matches tonight.
We are initiated. Bane kind of, in a way, kind of sounds like Yoda, in a way. Like, they kind of have that voice.
Yeah, jacked up, steroid-infused Yoda.
So... Yeah, so, I mean, Adam Rose and Brad Maddox are apparently a tag team. We'll see what the hell happens. But, so anyway, we have Becky Lynch and Charlotte.
Submission sorority. Even though they're not, the name was changed.
So, here's the thing with the name. Submission sorority. Someone didn't do their homework.
Nope, not at all.
No, no, no. Even though it's a great name for those three, which would be Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Paige, because they're all submission type wrestlers and that name works, submission sorority is actually what, Pete?
When you go to Google, and well, right now, go to Google, type in submission sorority, and hit images, and you will see a broad in a headlock with a dick down the throat.
Oh, my Lord!
You won't see Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Paige.
No.
You will see a chick in a headlock with a dick down the throat.
Submission sorority.
Brought to you by Bang Bus. The fine folks at Bang Bus.
Submission sorority.
The fine folks at Bang Bus. Plug for them.
The fine folks. We thank you
just
for...
a couple of shady individuals probably smoking cigarettes. Bagging exactly. Chicks on Craigslist.
Hey, Tootsie, yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, give it 5 minutes and then put her in front of the camera.
Yeah, just pour that on yeah,
just
pour
a
that
bunch
down
of
back.
Creeps. Just a bunch of creeps. But, yeah, so they are no longer known as Submission Sorority.
What are they known as now? I don't even know.
PCB, I believe. They didn't really get into the name yet. They'll get into it on Monday.
PCB?
Something to that effect.
Paige, Charlotte, Becky. Oh, well, how original.
How original with that one. Submission sorority was great. I mean, if this was the Attitude Era, they would have kept it. Double marketing.
Oh, well, yeah. They would have definitely kept it. That would have, you're absolutely right, with the marketing and all of that shit. And
yeah,
it
you would have had some lookalikes on the site.
Yep.
Would have been great.
The edgier product that WWE had in the Attitude Era, it would have worked perfectly. And you don't even really need to cross that line because, I mean, let's be clear. WWE had a relationship with Playboy magazine where mad chicks were on the roster and doing Playboy. And even though it was very, very suggestive and sometimes they stepped over the line, it was never nothing that horrible.
No,
but
not
now,
at all.
Everything is so as Donald Trump said in the recent debate, we live in such a politically correct world.
Yep, and if Trump wasn't insane, I probably wouldn't mind him as president because he don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
that's what you need. You need someone in charge that just doesn't care. Someone that'll look you dead in the eye and go, "Grow some balls."
Yeah, man, and that's it's funny you say that. I was recently looking at a clip from the recent debate, and I forgot the woman's name who was giving out the questions and all of that, but she looks at Trump and she says, "You've said some pretty bad things about women in your time." And like during The Apprentice, he said to a chick something to the effect of, "You would look most beautiful on your knees." Like and
who wouldn't want a president that would look a reporter in the face and say that? I'm sorry.
And I mean, we all know that Donald Trump absolutely despises Rosie O'Donnell and has made like jokes throughout the years about her. So is this who we're gonna elect president? Eh, whatever. But when the woman asks him that, he ends up talking about how PC the world is and how he's just fun and kidding. But if America wants to be successful, they need to stop being so sensitive and just start being more like straight minded or some shit like that. So even though I don't really agree with Donald Trump being president, I agreed with that little clip and what he said. Donald Trump is more of a funny celebrity than a president.
Yeah, if he wasn't insane, I mean, if he had some real solutions to some of the problems, I mean, I wouldn't mind getting behind him, but the fucking dude is nuts. Hilarious, yeah. But nuts.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want him with his finger on the button.
Didn't he purchase WWE for like a week?
Oh yeah, and then Vince got it back somehow.
And then Vince got it back.
Shenanigans between the billionaires.
Stupid stories.
I wonder why they're not promoting Trump for president.
Yeah, right.
He's a great character, isn't he? In the Hall of Fame.
WWE's PG now. They're PG.
Yeah, they couldn't have him on there and say something about Mexicans. No fucking way.
Didn't he say something about Puerto Ricans and Mexicans or something
about he couldn't tell them apart. And then he said he's going to hire Mexicans to build a wall and then put them back in Mexico so they can't get in. I'm like, yeah, that's fucked up. How are you going to hire somebody, build a wall, and throw them out?
If Trump becomes president, you know how people usually say, oh, well, if this person becomes president, I'm moving to Canada or I'm moving away. It's like, shut the fuck up. You're not moving anywhere. But if Trump becomes president, I don't know what the fuck is going to happen to America, bro.
Yeah, I mean, America will have some balls, I'll tell you that. He'll probably tell people, shut the fuck up.
We're going to be crying. The most targeted nation in the world if we aren't already.
Yeah, times 10, because they'll be wanting to kill his ass.
Well, even though we're getting off track, but that had to be noted anyway. Becky Lynch and Charlotte versus Bria and Nikki, and Becky Lynch and Charlotte end up winning. And the crowd really loves Charlotte. Like, they really love
Charlotte's great. In an interview this week, she said she's going to main event WrestleMania one day. And I'd love to see that.
That's very far fetched as long as a certain person named Vince McMahon is alive and breathing. But yeah, it'd be nice. Because Charlotte's really good.
You never know. They may give her a Ronda Rousey type gimmick where she's fighting. Well, Ronda Rousey hasn't fought a man yet, but she can fight a man.
I was speaking with Angry Lou about the situation with the name. If they could get one more person, they could be called the Four Horsewomen.
Yes.
And you have Charlotte's daughter. Like, it makes sense.
But, and another thing, you have Tully Blanchard's daughter who's a wrestler. She wrestles in PWS.
Right.
Pro Wrestling Syndicate, for those who don't know, Tessa Blanchard. And she's not bad. She's still coming up. I mean, she's still got a lot of work to do, but... Signed her with NXT. I mean, she had a tryout for NXT. I'm not sure what happened. But sign her at NXT, train her, bring her up. That's fucking perfect. Two of the original members of the Four Horsemen's daughters. I'm not completely sure. I don't know if he has kids. I think he has kids. He might not have a daughter. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well,
here's your Four Horsewoman.
That will be dope. I also read that they want to do something like that, but they don't necessarily want to step on Ronda Rousey's toes because...
Oh, fuck Ronda Rousey. She ain't in WWE.
Yeah, exactly. To me,
the whole Ronda Rousey thing, to me, she's a great fighter, but she's being fed cupcake fighters. She's being fed cupcakes. She's being fed chicks she can knock out. She's not fighting Cyborg. She's dodging Cyborg because I believe Cyborg whooped that ass. Cyborg hasn't been defeated since 2005. And then the minute they ask, well, why don't you fight Cyborg? Tell her to get off the steroids and we'll fight. This week it's steroids. Last week was she needs to come down to my weight division and then we'll fight. Then the week before that, she needs to sign the UFC. She's not even UFC. This is Floyd and Pacquiao all over again. Dodging the best competition.
I mean, I believe it. I believe it. You do anything to stay on top. And even though she is a great fighter, that can't be denied. And she has a lot of star power. Like, Ronda Rousey is pretty much the new shit. Like, everyone knows who she is.
Of course. I mean, I like most people who are on top, I want to see her get knocked out. UFC is going to get my money, and I'm a huge CM Punk fan. UFC is going to get my money when Punk fights. You know why? I want to see Punk get dropped.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
That's because I got a feeling if he gets dropped, he's coming back to wrestling. And that's what I hope for.
I would love CM Punk to come back. I personally don't see it because every time he's asked, he's just so freaking... just done. Like, he just sounds like he's done. Like, he's like, no, never.
Like, yes, like, no. only the WWE can make a guy whose lifelong goal in life and his lifelong love was wrestling. Only WWE can make a guy hate what he loved his whole life. Look at AJ Lee. AJ Lee was born to wrestle. Born to wrestle. And look at her now. Walked away. How old was she? In her mid-20s?
Yeah, AJ Lee was about 30.
Yeah, walked away. Best in the game, walked away.
If you ask me, son, I definitely want to say that CM Punk has some influence on that.
Probably, probably. Oh, if you're my wife and you shouldn't be there, they don't like me and they're going to treat you like shit. They weren't really treating her like shit. I mean, she held the title after he left for a nice amount of time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
she was involved in the top diva angles. So, I mean, I'm sure
she ended up winning a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And when everyone thought she was losing.
Like, she quit the next day or some shit like that, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And that's why you're not going to see this chick drop the belt. Nikki Bella dropped the belt until she breaks AJ's record. Exactly. Once that record's broken, then she's going to drop the belt. She's going to hold that title all the way till at least after Survivor Series. She'll probably drop the belt at the Rumble because they need that record gone. Because they don't talk about AJ Lee no more. Persona non grata again.
Exactly. Just act like it never happened. AJ who? AJ Styles?
Like, huh? Okay. April Mendez? Huh? Huh? Hmm? Well, no, you're thinking about Bayley, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Bayley. Carol. No. So what other crap they had on Raw this week?
Well, Miz TV was good this week. Miz came out, and I mean, let's be clear. The whole week, and it's a damn shame I didn't say this. The whole Raw episode was centered around Roddy Roddy Piper. Rest in peace, Roddy Roddy. And in the beginning, they did the ten bell rings for him. Everyone had on a Hot Rod shirt throughout Raw, like, you know, they're wearing it to the ring and all of that. So they definitely gave a lot of respect and a damn good tribute to him.
So yeah, they had no choice. They should have. Because without Piper, there would be no WWE wouldn't be what it was or it is now. Because without a great heel, you have nothing.
And I think heels in general would never be what they are unless it was for him, unless they had a model of someone to be after. And Roddy Piper was one of the best trash talkers ever, one of the first trash talkers in that sense. So, you know, he left his mark, and they definitely showed him a lot of respect, and so did The Miz. He comes out to do Miz TV, and he starts naming off all the other, you know, in-ring kind of interview segments. He's like The Cutting Edge, Chris Jericho's Highlight Reel, The Heartbreak Hotel, which I never knew was a thing.
I forgot about that. Wow, The Heartbreak Hotel on Superstars. Wow, with Shawn Michaels and Diesel standing behind him.
The barbershop.
The flower shop.
Yep.
The snake pit.
I mean, yep. I didn't wait, the snake pit.
Yeah, Jake the Snake had his own show, The Snake Pit. Yes. That's what Honky Tonk Man cracked them.
Miz is going down the list, and he's just naming them all off, and he said that none of them would be what they were if it wasn't for the originator, which was Piper's Pit. So that was real nice. But so Kevin Owens comes out, and the guests are Kevin Owens and Cesaro, and both gentlemen end up coming out. And Cesaro gets a really big freaking reaction. The fans are really behind Cesaro. I hope that they push him to the moon, bro, because he deserves it.
No, he really does. He really does. That dude, probably one of the top three as far as wrestlers in the company right now. I mean, he's not great on the mic. I mean, the dude is from Switzerland. I mean, he has an accent. Give him a mouth. He had a mouthpiece. He had Heyman. What happened with that? It's another just one day he's there, one day he's not. But this time he's really connected, and that's what Vince said to do. Connect with the fans, and that's what he's doing.
And apparently the thing now for Cesaro is you hold up a sign that says Cesaro section. And when he came out, you saw there was like just a sea of people that had that sign up that said Cesaro section. So I'm like, yo, Cesaro is definitely doing his thing, and the crowd is behind him, and they definitely like him. So we get Cesaro and Owens and Miz in the ring, and they're, you know, Miz asks Kevin Owens why and what's going on with him and Cesaro, and Owens starts talking the shit, and of course, you know, they get into it. And what was really funny is once they start to get into it, Cesaro gets up and he's about to rip his shirt off, because he comes out with, you know, a nice dress shirt, and he comes out in a suit. You know, Cesaro's trying to style. So
looking like a gentleman and shit. Look like, this is how you gotta go somewhere when you go somewhere, folks. Nice dress shirt, some shoes. If you gotta fight, you take it off. You don't let the guy rip it, you know?
Exactly. So he took it like he was about to rip it, but then he was like, nah. He just unbuttoned it real nice. Like, I'm gonna just place this here real nice and just set that down, because that was an expensive fucking shirt. And I don't blame the guy. So Owens ends up shitting on The Miz, because The Miz ends up like fucking trying to interrupt him. And then Owens looks at him and he says, why don't you let this to the guys who actually know how to fight? And then Miz is on the mic like, I could fight.
The Miz sucks. He should just retire. The best thing he did in his life was marry Maryse.
Yeah.
It was the best thing he's ever done with his career, as he wiped that phenomenal piece.
I mean, he beat John Cena in the main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah, one of the worst main events at WrestleMania, I might add.
Yeah, that wasn't the best WrestleMania, that's for sure. Yeah. That was the one that Rock hosted. 27, right?
Horrible.
Yeah, 27. Well, that had Taker and Shawn Michaels in it, right?
Taker, Triple H won, I believe.
That is correct. Because I was at...
No, Taker Triple H 2, actually.
Oh, no.
The one you were at was Taker Triple H 3.
No. They only
They fought at WrestleMania 3 times.
Yeah, they did. They fought one time in the early 2000s at WrestleMania.
Yeah, so technically it was Triple H Taker 2, and then the one in the cell was 3. They just neglect to mention
that. I see what you're doing there. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
They neglect them, and they completely... If you watch that, they don't even talk about that one.
Yeah, they don't even acknowledge it. Because Taker was the American Badass gimmick, and it's almost like they don't want you to acknowledge that he ever changed from Dead Man.
And it's like, I remember seeing this on the big stage. Like, you've done this before. So...
Weird.
But, yeah. But, that was the highlight of that main event.
That's an experience in itself, bro.
Yes, sir.
If you're listening and you're a wrestling fan, I mean, just going to a wrestling event in itself is the shit. But to go to WrestleMania is an experience.
110 and 20, sir. 110 and 20.
Oh, you went to 110 and 20?
110 and 20. Well, one was in the theater right next to Madison Square Garden where the screen came down. But 10 and 20, upper deck.
Nice. Oh, so you were at 20 when Undertaker came. So you saw Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and we were part of the Boo Fest.
Yeah, that was the worst match in the history of life.
One of the worst matches. One of the worst matches. Horrible, horrible, horrible. You
got Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar with Stone Cold Steve Austin as the special guest referee. Like, that's a match you can only think of in a video game.
Yeah, but you knew it was going to be limited because Goldberg's limited. Pardon me, Angry Lou, if you're listening. I'm sorry, but Goldberg is limited.
Yeah, he is.
And Brock at the time, Brock can go, but he can only do so much with Goldberg. Everyone in the world knew they were leaving. So it's like, what the hell is this?
Well, after the Miz TV segment, Raw continues, and we have Rusev versus Mark Henry, and I could care.
Yay! What. Hold on. Rusev versus Mark Henry? Rusev versus Mark Henry? Hold on. Rusev versus Mark Henry. Main event? Main event, anybody? Main event? No? Nobody?
Absolutely
silent?
Not. No. Absolutely
no?
Not.
No? Come on, they agree. Come on. Come on.
I mean, why not? Like that's an amazing match right there. It was match of the year. Absolutely was. No,
yes,
actually the match sucked. and Rusev ends up beating Mark Henry with the sidekick that he does. Like he does kind of like a super kick. And that move, I've seen everyone kick out of that move. I've seen Zack Ryder kick out of that move. And Mark Henry doesn't kick out of that move. Mark Henry is just down to the count.
Absolutely.
Mark
horrible.
Henry needs to retire, bro.
Yeah, he's been, I mean, shit. 1995, 94.
Who do you think should retire first, Big Show or Mark Henry?
Shit, that's hard.
Because they both need to get the fuck out of here.
I would say Big Show. I mean, I could tolerate Mark Henry a little more because he's been injured so much. He hasn't been shoved down your throats like Big Show has, but Big Show can go first.
See, Mark Henry
can retire a year later.
Mark Henry could have a title run if done right, if you ask me. Because Mark Henry is believable as a badass dude who you can't beat. And when they had him as that character, and he was the champion over on SmackDown, back when the titles were split, it was really believable. Mark Henry was whooping everybody's ass. He had a bad attitude. He didn't care what you thought. He just went in the ring and beat the crap out of you and pinned you. And that shit worked for Mark Henry. So,
and then he got
I would definitely say that Big Show needs to retire first. That needs to happen.
That run he had, it was going on the same time as Punk's run. And that run Mark Henry was having was great. And then he had to get hurt. Injury prone. Another dude that's injury
prone. And
they
ended up having CM Punk versus Mark Henry, champion versus champion one time. And that was a damn good match. I remember that CM Punk had to come off the top rope with the elbow, but he was holding a chair like on him. And or like there was a chair already laying on Mark Henry, and Punk ended up doing some crazy shit. And that's when Punk was in his prime, man.
Yeah, Punk was on fire that summer, fall 2000, 2011 to 2012.
Yeah, around fire. There.
And
I'll never forget CM Punk versus John Cena in Chicago when he took the title. And,
Money in the Bank.
Yeah, Money in the Bank. And he's just sitting there in the ring and with his legs crossed, and everyone's just chanting CM Punk. And that's back when he still had the Kill Switch song, which I really like, actually.
And that's how you know a dude is old. Like, I'm sitting there watching it with my nephew. I was like, this is how you know he's the fucking man. Look at him. He got everyone in that arena on their feet, and he's just sitting there. And they were one of the livest crowds ever, one of the best crowds for a match ever, because they were
and of
on
course
every
CM
move.
Punk didn't win on some straight up shit, because John Laurinaitis ended up coming out, and then John Cena runs out the ring and hits John Laurinaitis and like points at him and says, "You're not gonna interrupt this man's match.
We're not gonna have this, pal.
We're not gonna have this because I'm John Cena. All right. It's not gonna go down on my watch.
I win nobly."
So Cena runs back in the ring, and of course Punk takes advantage and hits the GTS. So it's like, even and I freaking bet you anything that CM Punk, even though he was happy that he took the title that night, he was still probably salty at the fact that it wasn't a straight up win. Because of course it wouldn't be. He can't just hit the GTS on Cena and pin him on some clean shit.
It has to be a shenanigan or some bullshit, or you know, it can't be straight up. You can never beat Cena straight up clean. Owens did it, but we all know what happened after that, didn't we?
Just why we had all the faith in Kevin Owens, and then he ends up losing the next two matches. And it's like, what was it for?
Someone else brought up the same point. I read an article the point that I brought up that week when we did the show, when I said the dude is breaking up a fight between Taker and Lesnar. Someone brought up the same thing. Like, he's in the middle of the fray breaking up the fight. There you go.
And it's almost like they gave him that win just so he can have that to say for the rest of his career. Like, my first match in WWE, I beat John Cena. And in a year or two, that win isn't even going to mean shit. Watch. I hope not, but...
they probably won't even mention it.
Well, like I said, that's probably going to be his thing. Even, like, next year, if he's having a mid-card match with freaking Big Show, and on SmackDown, if for absolutely no reason and no type of contendership or anything, and Jerry Lawler will be like, oh, well, Kevin Owens, well, don't forget, guys, Kevin Owens beat John Cena in the first match. He's like, well, what the fuck does it mean? Because he ended
not going to happen.
Yeah. Getting all
not
riled up over this shit.
Yeah, we do every week. That's the funny part. We get riled up over Kevin Owens every single week. Every week.
We're passionate, man. We're passionate wrestling fans, and we know when we see good talent, and it sucks to just see them get buried in a way. I mean, who the hell knows? We're going to go over NXT later on in the show, and we're going to explain how Kevin Owens and Finn Balor is going to turn out at TakeOver, which we're going to be at TakeOver, NXT,
yes,
Brooklyn, Barclays Center, Not Just Wrestling Show. We're going to be there. We'll be in the building. Say what's up. Holla at
and you. Loud. Acting up.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be loud as hell.
Acting up.
So Rusev beats Henry, yeah. Yo, before I continue, I don't mean to keep getting sidetracked. I'm watching this episode of South Park where Stan's father has become the freaking focal point of fucking South Park. He's the funniest character, period.
Yeah.
Do you watch South Park, yo?
I haven't seen none of the new ones, but Mr. Marsh is great.
Yeah. Stan's dad is the shit. So, in the newer episode, Stan's dad lives a double life. He is actually, on the side, the artist Lord.
Oh, I saw that episode. Yes, that was hilarious.
Yo. And
that was fucking hilarious.
And Stan looks at him when Stan finally realizes it, and Stan's like, wait a minute. So, you wrote the song to the new Hunger Games movie. And then he's like, yeah, well, Hollywood just messed it all up. It was supposed to go like Hunger Games, yeah. And then, like, he shows Stan how he becomes Lord with the auto-tune and shit, and Stan faints like, yo, that episode's fucking hilarious. Yo. Shout out to South Park.
And one of the best ones with him, with Stan's pops, is when the internet dies, and he's trying to watch internet porn, and he finally gets some internet, and they bust in the room, and my man's covered in nut. like the whole room. That shit is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, South Park has been my show for... I mean, I was a young boy watching South Park, man.
Yeah, man. On that note, what we're gonna do right now, we're gonna take a quick little break, regroup, come back and finish off Raw, hop into NXT, waiting for our guest Coop DeVille to call, indie wrestler Coop DeVille. If you're out there, give us a call, sir. Get your name out there, talk about your career, see what's what. Let's go into a little more Sean Price, a quick little break, and we will
be
back.
Let's do it.
Yeah, you fucking onion head bass, yeah. Motherfucker. Yeah. Let's go, fucker. Swiss Army knife in my hand. Know this shit corny, but it can end the life of your fam. Niggas know Sean nice with the hands. Watch me punch up your face, dig in your pockets, leave you right where you stand. Got a dumb bitch that live in Japan. Black belt, suck dick, chop bricks with a hand. Arigato, Sean Price slick like El Gato. Three-piece suit in the booth, ain't shit cute. Might smack off half your smile. Go to court with a suit, smack the other half after trial. Plead the fifth, y'all niggas better plead the eighth. Don't leave your face fucked up, now your niece is rape. I'm bugging. EP
pills, mushrooms, and dust. Got that nigga Sean P in the mood to bust. Sean P, the motherfucking all-time great. New York, the NC, nigga, the all-round state.
Yeah. Coast to coast, he traveled the land. Left footprints and grains of sand. It's
Sean P.
Soldier Force, the Magnum deliver. In his presence, phony rappers a shiver. It's
Sean P.
The sixth runway in the even 200. Lord help you if he double stacked up and blooded.
It's Sean P.
Underrated.
Motherfuckers ain't as nice as me, and if they is, they would've been Sean. That's fucked up for you, you should've been on grabbing a gin. Drunk rappers need to grab up a pen, write some ill shit, nigga, and let the madness begin. Rhyming for dough, no money, pa, rhyming for dough. No partners, just me, highlighting the show. Niggas said I lost my image when I cut off my dreads, but I'm the nicest nigga out, Duke. Fuck what you said, let it be known. Gold ring embedded with stone, so when I punch you in the head, this shit'll dent up your dome. Niggas running up, asking about rock, I'll send your ass to heaven. Motherfucker, ask God about Pac, ask about Big. Motherfucker, ask about Pun. Gangsta rappers can't fight, so they rap about guns. One.
From coast to coast, he traveled the land. Left footprints and grains of sand. It's
Sean P.
Soldier Force, the Magnum deliver. In his presence, phony rappers a shiver. It's
Sean P.
We're back. Rest in peace, Sean Price, once again.
Rest in peace, Sean Price.
Well, let's continue with Raw. Left off with Rusev and Mark Henry.
Rusev and Henry. So we end up having Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper and Sheamus versus Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and Randy Orton. And each team, respectively, has a promo backstage to where they're talking shit about the other team. And the first one, we have the Wyatt family. So it's Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. And if you watch Raw and you know Wyatt's character, you know that his promos in the back are usually in the dark with a spotlight on him. It's very eerie, that kind of with like the smoke rising and all of that stuff. And it makes you feel as though Bray Wyatt is not there, like he's in another type of world or realm. I mean, that even though I'm reaching with that, the way that they portray that is like with The Undertaker. And The Undertaker will cut a promo in the back and it'll be dark. Like, they're not alluding to him being in the fucking locker room. You know what I mean? Like, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. And that was supposed to be, if folks don't know out there, rumor has it that six man was supposed to be the whole Wyatt family back together with against Ambrose, Reigns, and Sting, which would have been
That was supposed to happen at SummerSlam, but
that's Rowan's bum ass had to go get hurt, and that was that.
But like I said last week, I like Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper together as a team. They don't necessarily need to be a tag team. Harper can be a bodyguard of sorts for Wyatt. Like, that just works. But anyway, to prove my point about Wyatt's whole promo and all that shit, because I always get off track. Out of nowhere, Sheamus just walks into the camera. And Sheamus is holding the money in the bank. And he's like, yeah, fella, Randy Harton, you best know I'm going to kick you in your arse. And it's like, wait a minute, what? And Wyatt's just looking at him and is like, what's the saying, like, the friend of my enemy or your enemy is my friend or some shit like that.
Yeah.
But just for the night. And then Sheamus walked, and I'm like, okay, that was a weird segment. But anyway, so after that segment, Paul Heyman comes out, and Paul Heyman does what Paul Heyman does, and he cuts a fabulous freaking promo on The Undertaker and how The Undertaker is going to be Brock's bitch and the whole nine and the shebang. And Brock Lesnar comes out and Brock gets all hype and he rips the freaking steel chairs in half and throws it in the ring and stands on top of it and just fucking stands there while Paul Heyman just cuts a promo. I mean, it was okay, but not
Paul Heyman does what he does. Not his best, but at his worst, he's still great.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Heyman is one of the best speakers. And you know what, me and Angry Lou, we were speaking about something pretty interesting. The best manager ever, Paul Heyman or Bobby Heenan?
Ooh, I would have to say Heenan. Paul Heyman is great on the mic. He doesn't really, he brings charisma to his the wrestlers he manages, and he's good on the mic. He can make anyone a believable monster, but Heenan just had it all. Heenan had the mic skills. Heenan had the ring. I mean, he got destroyed in the ring, but Heenan just made you want to grab him by the throat and choke the life out of him. And he was a funny motherfucker too.
Yeah, Heyman, like Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman never really got the crap kicked out of him in the ring, you know.
No, Heenan.
He's been in tussles before. Like John Cena has, like, punched him in the face or whatever. But he's never been like I've seen Paul Heyman. I mean, Bobby Heenan. Excuse me. I've seen him get like tossed over the top rope. I don't think I've ever seen that happen to Heyman.
Yeah, Heenan, they would always have, back when Heenan was in AWA, he'd wrestle once a year, and they would hype it up so much. Like, seeing Heenan getting his ass whooped was like an event. And the fucking arenas would sell out just to see Heenan get his ass whooped. And that was once a year, pretty much, they did it. And I mean, his mic skills, his everything. Just Heenan, to me, is number one. Heyman's a close, damn near kicking down the door, number two.
So you think Bobby Heenan has better mic work than Paul Heyman?
Maybe not better mic work. Overall, a better character, but not the mic work. He's probably right behind Heyman. But
Paul Heyman, even though he's primarily associated with Brock Lesnar and his run in WWE, I mean, let's be clear. Paul Heyman owned ECW. He was an on-air character. In WCW, Paul Heyman used to manage the Dangerous Alliance. So yes. Heyman's been around the block, and yeah, he was that annoying manager on the side and always screaming into the big jalopy phone and shit. Can't believe I just said the word jalopy.
Yeah, jalopy. But,
yeah, and so Paul Heyman was that dude, man. But yeah, so...
1978. Okay.
Wait, what happened?
I said, you still with us? You kind of went dead for a second.
What was the last thing you heard me say?
Jalopy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I was just making a point about Paul Heyman and the damn big-ass phone that he used to have and just all of that. But yeah, so Bobby Heenan, I mean, Heenan's not doing too good these days. I mean, what, Bobby Heenan has cancer, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, yeah, throat cancer. He can't even speak no more. It's fucking sad. His best attribute, like, was his mouth, and he can't speak. And he's had multiple surgeries. If you see him, he looks completely different. Like, his mouth is like permanently open. It's fucking sad to see a dude, man, you grew up watching and he can't even speak. Like, if you ask him for a picture, he'll give you a finger. He's still got the sense of humor, but he just can't.
Yeah, he broadcast can't, yeah,
it. So he'll give you the finger. He'll do shit like that. It's fucking sad.
Well, to finish off Raw, Paige versus Naomi. Paige ends up getting the win. I mean, and this is just more evidence. The Divas Revolution is here. It's the shit. And it's really something to be a part of, man. I love it. They're giving these chicks all the time, and these matches are not short matches by any means. And there's multiple
Divas. No, they're not the 2-minute bathroom breaks anymore. It's actually must-see wrestling now. It's so, no longer bathroom.
Right before the main event, you got Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns, and Randy Orton cuts the promo in the back. And Roman Reigns, I still can't believe, I still don't get into him, bro. I can't do it. Like, I get what he's trying to do with the intensity and how he talk, like, I'm going to come out there and I'm going to punch you right in the mouth. And it's like, I get it, but he's still not believable. And we thought Roman was going to get pushed to the freaking moon, and that just kind of didn't happen.
Yeah, they're not. It looks like they kind of hit the brakes on Roman. I mean, shitty main event in Mania, but since then, just brakes have been pushed, and maybe, you know, maybe they realized their mistake, like, too much too soon. You don't want to kill a dude's career because you gave him too much too soon. You don't want him to be another Tony Atlas. I mean, Tony Atlas, when he came in, he was pushed to the moon. And you can't do that.
You don't want to push somebody too quick. But also with Roman, I mean, they put him there and he was supposed to be dope. When you have a WrestleMania main event and it's against Brock Lesnar and that type of venue, you're supposed to benefit off of that. And at the end of the day, how I look at it, Roman Reigns did not benefit off of that WrestleMania main event. Because you should be main eventing everything. You should be the dude, and you're not at all. Like, him and Rollins ended up not really going into a program with each other, or did they? I don't even think they did. They didn't feud with each other after Mania.
No, not at all.
And then he fused with Bray Wyatt and whatever. That brings us to the main event. It's them three, Reigns, Orton, Ambrose versus Wyatt, Harper, and Sheamus. And Reigns, Orton, Ambrose get the win. It was a good main event, physical match. And that is Raw. That's the end of that.
Very thrilling episode of Raw.
Yeah, it was.
It was okay. It wasn't horrible. But, you know, it is what it is. It's the product we have right now.
That's what we have.
The product we have right now, and we have to watch it. And now it's on to the better product, which is NXT.
NXT is the shit, man. Starting off NXT, we have the returning Bayley. So Bayley returned last week, or 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, and she's back from a wrist injury. And she basically said that she needs to prove herself before she becomes the NXT champion, or the women's champion. And she wants to fight Charlotte. So they end up having a match. Bayley and Charlotte tore the fucking house down. They had a great match.
Yes, they really did. That match was back and forth. Great drama, great intensity by both of them. And it's something about Bayley. I don't know what it is, but it's just one of those. Don't tell your friends, but just hit it on the side. You know what I'm saying?
No, Bayley, I'll go on record by saying Bayley got back. Like, she definitely got a little something back there. Like,
I believe a couple of weeks ago I went on record with Bayley. I think I did. Yeah, I did. Oh well.
Takeover.
So I might have to try to sneak into the dressing room. I think I have the moxie to pull that off.
I mean, if you do, and you get a picture of some sort, then I will bow to you, sir.
I think I have to moxie, throw on my inner butt head and go, hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
How's it going?
So Bayley gets the win on Charlotte. I mean, she hits the Bayley-to-Bayley suplex, which has pretty much knocked out everyone that she's done that on, and Charlotte kicked out the first time, and I was like, whoa. And then she took her to the top rope, and then she did the Bayley-to-Bayley suplex off the top rope, and that was the 1-2-3. And it was dope. So I'm very, very happy for Bayley. She is definitely coming into her own. I can see her taking the title eventually off of Sasha Banks, because Bayley ends up going backstage after her match and she's talking to William Regal and she says, I just beat Charlotte. I've been on a roll. I want to fight Sasha at TakeOver. And Regal looks at her and says, well, you have been on a roll, but next week in the number one contender match, you're going to fight Becky Lynch. So next week we got Bayley versus Becky Lynch, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's going to be another good one. 2 weeks of great, I don't even call them diva, great women's wrestling, because they can all tear it down.
Oh, yeah, man. It's going to be good. So we have Michael Cole interviewing Kevin Owens as NXT goes on. And he's interviewing Kevin Owens inside of like a Raw ring, or like a Raw or SmackDown ring with that type of setup, but with the NXT lights all around it. So that was kind of cool. And Kevin Owens basically talks about the match with Finn Balor, talks about how it was a fluke that he won, and issues a challenge for their match in Brooklyn to be a ladder match.
Oh, so, shit.
Yeah, man. It's
I think we are going to see a classic.
Yes,
a classic. Ladder match.
Now
classic.
I'm really, really excited, bro. I am fucking excited.
Yeah. I was excited regardless, because we always said the first takeover that they show, we said it as I sat in your generic apartment watching it, that we need to get to a takeover one day. And
yep,
we will be at a fucking takeover in 2 weeks.
And see, this is back when we're watching NXT and everything was at Full Sail University in Orlando, Florida. And we had dreams that NXT would eventually tour. And that just goes to show the growth that NXT has had. And
not even 2 years.
Yeah, man. Triple H has done his thing, bro. NXT's the shit. Like, they're touring internationally.
And they sold out the Barclays Center. This is fucking NXT. This isn't Raw. This isn't SmackDown. This is fucking NXT, and they sold out the Barclays.
It's going to be NXT TakeOver versus SummerSlam. And I can guarantee you that TakeOver is going to be the better wrestling show.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So
SmackDown's going to be 4 hours of entertainment.
I mean, yeah, SummerSlam is going to have it'll probably have a musical performance. They'll probably have someone lame like Kid Ink come out, you know, yeah, like Kid Ink, you know, come out and just, you know, do a song that nobody cares about. Because who listens to Kid Ink? But he had the WrestleMania theme song. Whatever. So that's that. Kevin Owens, he issues the ladder match, walks away from Michael Cole, because that's what Kevin Owens does. He just walks away from everybody. So Baron Corbin has a squash match, beats somebody, a jobber, 1-2-3. I believe that was one of the new development come-ups. I believe his name was Steve Cutler. Little dude. Freaking,
Yeah, I mean, you're probably once the next crop goes up, you know, the next crop steps up. You know what I'm saying? That's how they do it.
There's a lot of promising talent. There's a lot of talent in the tag division down in NXT. That's for damn sure. The tag division is amazing down there.
Another, basically another Bull Dempsey. Shitty. Get fit bull bullshit. Promo
get
vignette
bullshit.
Yeah, bullshit. That's what it is. Bullshit.
I mean, I don't necessarily know what they're gonna do with Bull Dempsey when he comes back. They turn him into a comedy character. The little vignettes are funny to me. I find them funny. The one last week was freaking funny to me with the whole 80s montage theme and shit. But now this week he's more serious, and it's like he's finally like, yo, screw this, and now he's pushing big weights and shit. So when he comes back, he's going to be a joke. Like, he's a joke
basically
now.
Basically. He got the Raw treatment, I'll tell you that.
So moving on to NXT, we have Tyler Breeze versus a jobber, and Tyler Breeze ends up winning. So we have two squash matches in a row, Corbin and Breeze, and he beats the jobber. He hits the supermodel kick, or the whatever his other finisher is called, the beautiful person kick. I don't know. But Regal comes out after the match and announces that Tyler Breeze's opponent at TakeOver is going to be the person that he had to go to the depths of the earth to find. And ladies and gentlemen,
was it my prediction?
Jushin Thunder Liger.
Yes, sir. Jushin Thunder.
And Jushin Thunder, ladies and gentlemen.
If you don't know who that man is, YouTube is your friend. Because that dude is going to tear Brooklyn apart. Apart. Thunder.
Touché. So,
yes, sir.
Tyler Breeze and Jushin Thunder Liger are going to get it on at TakeOver in Brooklyn. And once again, we're going to be there. Not just wrestling show, we're going to be there in person.
Loud. Loud. So loud. Come upstairs and pay us a visit.
Screaming, trying to find the women's locker room, just going crazy. It's going to go.
All the single ladies. I don't want to sing the song, but, you know, do that.
Come holla at the kids. So,
yes, sir.
Moving on in this NXT, we have Finn Balor getting interviewed by Byron Saxton backstage. And Finn Balor talks about how it's not a fluke that he's a champ, and he accepts the ladder match. So I guess the last thing that needs to happen is William Regal needs to just make it happen. Which is going to give the seal of approval. And it's going to be one of those matches where you know it's going to be physical. I'm kind of thinking now that maybe Kevin Owens might not have a match at SummerSlam.
They're building the whole Cesaro thing. So, I mean, the fucking event is 4 hours. How do you not put him in a match in 4 hours? With 4 hours of time. That's why they don't stack these cards, man. It'll be like five matches and singers and bullshit and Renee Young. I mean, I like looking at Renee Young, but come on now. This is fucking SummerSlam.
Oh, God bless Dean Ambrose, the titty master.
And she don't have much titty, but I'm sure he's mastering it.
Nah, you know what? And it's not just – and let's make something clear. It's not just necessarily about – the outside. And Renee Young, in my opinion, is very pretty in the face.
Yes, she
but
is.
She doesn't have a body like someone like Naomi. But Renee Young's personality makes her the shit. Like, she's funny and just a bright chick, and she is the complete opposite of what someone like Eva Marie is.
Yeah, you can tell she grew up watching fucking the product. She grew up watching wrestling. She's not someone who they found on the corner somewhere. Hey, you're pretty. Would you like to be on television?
So, yeah, like she is dope. I love Renee Young, and I had hopes that she was gonna stay with WWE because she got an offer from ESPN, I believe, but she turned it down, and she's with WWE. I don't necessarily think she's going to stay with WWE her whole career.
Because
not. She has that much talent. Like, she could be a fucking news anchor and be the best one in America. Like, she's just dope like that.
Yeah, she's an all-around. She's very, very entertained. She's built for the entertainment world, and they better hold on to her as long as they can.
She's built to be on camera, like, period.
Yes. So ESPN's going to steal her. Trust.
Moving on, we have Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, part of the tag team NXT Revolution that we are very much enjoying. And they go head-to-head with the Hype Bros, which is Zack Ryder and Angry Lou's favorite wrestler in the world, Mojo Rawley.
Best ever Mojo Rawley, future World Heavyweight Champion. Mojo. Hype.
You hype? You gotta stay hype. So, I absolutely don't get Mojo Rawley. I don't get why Mojo Rawley has a job with WWE, but Chris Hero doesn't.
Yeah, I mean,
because
Chris Hero's
fat. Like, he's a muscular dude, but he got the fat like Chris Hero had, and Chris Hero's 10 times better than him.
Yeah, Chris Hero didn't want to hear it. That's what the rumors I heard. He just didn't want to be told anything. I mean, I can understand where he's coming from. The dude's been wrestling forever, pretty much, before he gets to the WWE. But, you know, it's their way or the highway. Yeah.
Seth Rollins actually almost got released from FCW before NXT became NXT. It was FCW. Seth Rollins almost got released because him and Terry Taylor did not see eye to eye. And Triple H had to go to him and be like, look, this is the chance of a lifetime, and you're fucking it up, pretty much. And you really need to just get with it. And see, the shit about these indie dudes, and the tricky thing is, they're really good, and they've owned their craft on the independent scene. So they know that they're dope in the ring. But a lot of people say, and William Regal has said this, that there's no such thing as a quote-unquote WWE style of wrestling. But if you ask me, that's bullshit, because absolutely, they tone you down completely.
Exactly. You got to create a whole, depending on who you are, you got to create a whole new moveset. You got to change the way you talk. You got to change the things you say. You have to change everything about your character, everything. That's why these dudes go to NXT. Like Kevin Owens been wrestling, what, 15 years? But he still had to go to NXT. You have to prepare yourself to be in a PG environment. You can't go up there going, I'm going to break your fucking neck. I'm going to do this. You got to be taught what to do. And I see where they're coming from with that. But Chris Hero, I mean, he just wasn't hearing it. And you see what happened.
Yeah. It'd be nice if he came back, but I mean, I don't necessarily.
And here's a little trivia for you. Chris Hero was supposed to be in the Shield.
Yes, sir.
The Shield was supposed to be Seth Rollins, Chris Hero, and Dean Ambrose. Triple H said no. Take Liaki, which is Roman Reigns.
Liaki. Yes, trivia,
folks. Liaki. Yeah.
What a shame. The Shield would have been so dope with Chris Hero in it.
What could have been?
And Chris Hero was, like, not for nothing. When FCW had switched over to NXT, Chris Hero was a focal point in the show. He had a real big feud with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's son, Richie Steamboat, who was supposed to come up, but he ended up having a really bad neck injury. And
well, yeah, he's done. He's retired, completely, utterly retired. Richie Steamboat wasn't bad. Richie Steamboat was actually pretty good.
He wasn't bad at all. I was looking forward to him coming up. He had like that Keanu Reeves thing going on with his face. Like he looked like he was Asian, but not really Asian. Like he looked like he was like white, but not really white. Like he just had like this look about him that no one else in the WWE had. And he was a legend's son. So it just worked. But he ends up getting injured, and that's that for him. So to finish off NXT, the Hype Bros end up beating Dawson and Wilder. Yeah, it looks like we're gonna have the Hype Bros stuff down our throat.
I hope you're prepared to boo because you know they're gonna wrestle on at Takeover and but don't forget it's Takeover plus two TV tapings, so we're gonna boo the shit out of the Hype Brothers, whatever the fuck their name is.
Yeah, I'm booing them to hell, bro. I can't with them. The main event of NXT is Samoa Joe versus Rhino. They end up having a really good match. Samoa Joe has
really good music.
His new music, I like it. That shit's hot. Have you heard it?
It fits him. It fits the character. No nonsense. Straight up, come in the ring, kick your ass, and leave.
It has like a little beat to it now. It's pretty dope. So they end up tearing it down, and Samoa Joe gets the victory. And that is the end of NXT, man. Good shit.
Yes, sir. It was a good episode this week. Good episode. Can't complain. It provided I get my wrestling entertainment from NXT. My wrestling fix every week is from NXT, not Raw. As you can see, because when we have the Raw discussion, generic dude leads the Raw discussion. Exactly. I only tend to catch the main event, basically. Well, I get home late, so I mean.
See, Raw,
sometimes Grand Theft Auto takes my NXT away.
especially this weekend with the with the double money on the bank heist, Pacific heist, and I've just been abusing Grand Theft Auto the past few days.
Yeah, man, I will be getting on there as soon as I'm done here. So, and I will be giving out some Pacific Standard money. So, to the listeners out there, if you want to join me and my pals, I'll save to get a gamer tag. It's P820, but that's P3T3. Hold on. I'm confused. P3T3 820.
P3T3 820.
Yes, I believe that's my gamer tag. Hold on. That's fucked up. I don't. Hold on. Yes, that's
I think that's it. Yeah, that is it.
Yeah, that is my gamer tag. Xbox One, folks, only.
Xbox One, your boy Generic Dude, gamer tag JB Blazin. That's JB space BLAZN. JB Blazin.
Bang, bang. Bang, bang. We're getting that GTA money.
Yeah, we really do. GTA, I've been playing this Witcher game. Witcher is the shit, bro. You need to get your hands on it, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know. Gift card on went on a pair of sneakers, so Witcher's next.
Yeah, Witcher, if you never heard of this game, it's pretty damn good. And if you're a fan of any Elder Scroll games and you like Skyrim and stuff like that, Witcher is definitely a game that will tickle your fancy until Fallout 4 comes out at the end of the year, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm gonna give the Fallout a chance. I didn't get into the other Fallout games, but this one I like the way it's looking, and I'm gonna give it a chance. I'll give it a quick little run and see what I can do. But I'm telling you, whatever. Anything I try to get into, Grand Theft Auto always steals me back. I've been playing Grand Theft Auto for over almost fucking 2 years now.
Yep. It came out October 2013. And it's we've been ridiculous. Abusing that game ever since. It's mad fun, though. Like the shit about Grand Theft Auto is that it's always changing. They're always adding.
They evolve it, yeah.
Like adding shit that you can buy, new cars, new clothes. It makes you want to play. And then, like, with weekends like this, to where they have all the missions and the money, it's double money, double experience, all of that good stuff. It makes you want to play and put the game on. So Rockstar's smart in that sense. It's actually a really good business mode that they do that, and we don't even have to pay for it.
No, they got them. What's crazy is the game's going to, October's going to be 2 years that the game was out. The game is still $60. Name a game that came out 2 years ago that's $60 right now.
Exactly.
The game is still $60, and it came out almost 2 years ago. So that tells you the shit is fucking hot. We talk left and right about Grand Theft Auto because we play the shit left and right. You venture into other games, you give other games a chance. Not me. I tend to play something for like 10 minutes, and then I put it down. I have Dying Light sitting here. Never went back to it. Alien Isolation sitting here. Never went back to it. Elder Scrolls Online, which was ugh. But I'll never touch that again. I mean, my NBA games I play once in a blue. I got Madden sitting here. Haven't touched it yet. Amongst other things.
I don't really play 2K15 anymore. See, my shit is fighting games. And I play fighting games. I've been playing fighting games my whole entire life. I'm a Street Fighter fan. I've been playing since Street Fighter 2. And I knew how to do a Hadouken when I was freaking 7, 8 years old. So that's just the way life was for me. And growing up with the evolution of fighting games, that's just what the Generic Dude played. And I grew up loving that shit. And then, you know, now it's come to the fact that I don't play fighting games really for fun, if that makes sense. Like, I play it because I have to keep up my skill with other people. I go into training mode, and I'm in training mode for hours, just practicing combos. It's fun, per se, but it's more so like, it's almost like work. It's weird. It's hard to explain. Like, I have to keep my skills right to make sure that I don't get passed. Like, my record on Mortal Kombat X is ridiculous, and I be smashing people in that game. But I've been falling back because I got The Witcher, playing Grand Theft Auto. I know if I put on Mortal Kombat X now, I'm going to get washed for like the first 5 matches.
I haven't tried the new one yet. I haven't gotten the new Mortal Kombat yet.
Mortal Kombat is now kind of crazy. Like, back in the day, Mortal Kombat was never really about combos like that. It was more like jump in, kick, you know, do the uppercut. Everyone had to move. Scorpion, get over here. Sub-Zero, freeze. Liu Kang, kick. Like, shit like that. And then fatalities. Mortal Kombat has turned into a full-on combo game now.
And yeah, definitely. I've been watching it online, like some of the highlights and shit. Those were dope. Those were real dope.
Yeah, they had Mortal Kombat at Evolution. Evolution Championships. That is the game championships, the fighting game championship of the freaking world, pretty much. And it's primarily held in Las Vegas every year in July. And the best gamers from around the world, Japan, Australia, Mexico, Europe, you name it, they come to Las Vegas to play all different kinds of fighting games. You got Street Fighter, Super Smash Brothers, Mortal Kombat, Tekken. And it's the best of the best. And I wouldn't dare, even though I pride myself as a good fighter in terms of fighting games, I wouldn't even try to go to Evo. These dudes dedicate their lives to fighting games.
Yeah, nah, definitely. You got there's a documentary about fighting games on I believe it was on Hulu. And them dudes are straight fucking professionals. Straight up and down. These dudes, they live their lives, their careers, everything to building these games and fighting.
You know that you're serious when it stops becoming about combos. Well, let me not say that. It's always about combos. But when you know frame rate, like I know that if I do this move, it's going to take him this long for it to get out, and I'll have this amount of time to recover and then block again. Like when you told me
some shit about that with the what the hell is that, the Nazi game you were playing? You were like, the frames and this and that. I'm like, huh?
Wolfenstein. Yeah, Wolfenstein.
And you're like, the frames and this and that. I'm like, huh? What?
Well, I mean, it's 60 frames per second. You in gaming, you got to think 60 frames per second means that it's just butter smooth, and like the game just it looks ridiculously smooth, and like the movements and everything, it's smooth, bro. 30 frames per second. That's primarily most of the games on Xbox 360. And they don't look as smooth. It can be a little bit choppy, but I know Call of Duty has always been 60 frames, and you can tell it's fucking smooth.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to the whole frame thing. It's just like I put it on, the shit looks dope. I play it. You know what I'm saying? I play it.
That's gamer nerd shit. When you start getting into frame rates, bro, that's some nerdy shit.
Yeah, that's beyond my expertise in terms of gaming.
I mean, before
it's really beyond.
Before we end the episode, the Deadpool trailer
down to 5 minutes. Yeah, the Deadpool trailer, which was, they have the red band trailer on the Deadpool site, and they have the regular PG friendly trailer. All I gotta say is I can't wait till fucking February.
Yeah, February, when Deadpool ends up coming out, it's going to be pretty ridiculous. The movie and the trailer that we saw, the movie looks ridiculous. Ryan Reynolds, he's really doing his thing. I'm looking forward to it. Go on YouTube, look up the Deadpool Red Band trailer, the Not Suitable for Work one. It's going to be an awesome movie, man. Can't wait.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Check it out. I checked out Ant-Man last week. Very good. Go check it out. I heard Fantastic Four is absolutely horrendous.
Really?
Yeah, when the director of a movie goes on Twitter and tells you the movie's trash and then deletes his tweet, do not waste your money. They just can't get Fantastic Four right. And I was looking forward to seeing Fantastic Four, and that fucking sucks.
I mean, they screwed up the whole plot. Like, Dr. Doom isn't what he's supposed to be. Is some kind of a hacker now or something weird. It's just they completely screwed it up. Fantastic Four has never gotten any justice, ever.
No, not yet. And Marvel needs to get their hands on it to give it some justice. Because right now, Marvel doesn't own the property. So we got to get what we got to get, but it's horrible. And we're going to get the fuck out of here. We'll be back next week, folks. This is Not Just Wrestling. I didn't rant today, which is good. I wanted to rant. Wanted to rant at you politically correct, sensitive assholes out there. But I kept it low key because I'm not really in the mood today. But I will come back at you motherfuckers. And I know you're probably listening, so complain now. What did we do that offended you today, huh? What did we do? Did I say something?
Are we really that bad? Are we really that bad of people?
Come on, America. Don't you love us? Come on.
Come on, guys. Give me a hug.
But we're going to get out of here. We'll be back next week. And I appreciate
ladies,
each and every one of you for listening.
Thank you. Supporters.
I love each and every one of you.
Do. We out.
We're going to play another song, Sean Price song, before we bounce. Rest in peace, my brother. We are out. Catch you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Listen, when your boy's confronted, consider that as the hunter being the hunted. A crossbow, harsh flow, hit him in the heart. I'm the true terror beneath a new era. It's like y'all acting but forgot y'all parts. So I'm yelling cut to reclaim my art. Flipping with my lyrics in the clean dismount. Stealing on the rapper, call it five finger discount. Spit out phlegm, spit out gems, spit fire. Militant mind state, watch for tripwire. I rhyme like peers of mine don't exist. Twist the top on the Henny. An MC's bucket kick like Lil Kenny. Any motherfucker disrespecting me, semi. Damn me fully, all black hoodie. The color of your future, the color of the Ruger.
Yo, Afro-American gangster, I shank ya. Sharpened toothbrush in the gut of a wankster. Conehead hoodie, no KKK. Just mayday with the AK spray. I'm a two-time felon, I'm a work release. Give work to my workers and they work the streets. Back in the white Beamer, level 4 armor. Roll the window down, let the metal roar contra. No video game shit, give me your chain, bitch. You like being broke, I like selling cocaine shit. Rich Porter, Maserati Rick shit. Pitch quarters in the lobby with the pamphlet. Pull out the piece and poppy. The poppy want peace like Mahatma Gandhi. No. Fuck peace, I'm a beast, bitch. I pop pellets in the purse and I'm a piece of shit.
Back to back verse for the apes. Stay murdering shit. First 48, diss that, ghetto flow, dirt doo-wop. Sirens on who block, money in the shoebox. Teddy bears on a light pole, who shot? Give them that night flow, ice cold, new rock. Hands in the air, fans cheer from stands while standing in the chair. And I don't really care what's happening over there. I just want my money in layers while landing in the lair. Can't compare, we know that it's unfair. How he's known from city to city like he was your mayor. Be clear, it'll never be fear. Turn the stove down, on if any beef's here. Time for the next, live is the hex. Kept it dirty like cassettes, just live from the decks. Go.